Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
My name is Gary Mitchum Reeves. These are the stories of my life. From the time as a small lad sitting by the fireplace with my grandfather listening to his tales, to running moonshine on the backcountry roads of North Georgia, being wrongfully convicted of a murder. These are stories of family, love, of loss, of growing up too fast. Welcome to Mitchum. Let's roll. Tonight, I've shared a lot of stories with our wonderful audience that we have, our listeners, and I've shared a lot of family stories with everybody. And I like to say again, we have the best audience listeners. I mean, just great people. And I really appreciate everyone listening to these stories. I just never would have imagined in my lifetime going back telling these stories that this day would come where people would be interested in wanting to hear these stories. So I'm going to tell you something a little different tonight. I want to share my day with you. This was a unique, special day to me. I left home. I had to go to town to the hardware store, take care of some stuff I needed to pick up. And when I got ready to leave there, haven't had lunch. And in Rome now, you can't go around the block in 30 minutes. Traffic's terrible. So I pull out of this place, and I have to make a left turn. Can't make a right turn. No, I had to make a right turn. Can't make a left turn. Well, as soon as I pull out, here's two cops that pull in front of me, and they got the red light, their lights on. And I thought, oh man, first thing I thought of, how am I going to get out of this? Can I make a U-turn here? How can I get through this roadblock they're setting up? And then I thought, wait a minute, I ain't loaded. Anyway, that's where my mind kind of went there. Well, they didn't really set the roadblock up. They were I don't know what they were doing, but I had to make a turn I didn't want to make, and I'm trying to figure out where I'm gonna get something to eat. I couldn't get toward home. Every which way I went, it just kept pushing me in a different direction than I actually wanted to go. The next thing I know, I'm thinking, okay, I haven't been out to Flick's Barbecue, the Log Cabin Barbecue, in a long time. His sister, my cousin, she retired, and she still owns the building, but they rent it out to somebody else that runs it now. So I just haven't been out there. I thought, well, this is going to depress me to go out there because nobody's around anymore. Flick's Barbecue was well known in the day. Now, it's out off the, it's on the Kingston Highway. Now, that was, the Kingston Highway was a busy, busy highway back when I was a kid because 411, the four lane, had not been built, and that was the way you had to go to Atlanta. So it was a busy highway, a lot of truck traffic and everything. And Flick built this log cabin right close to the road. And my grandmother, my aunt, and my granddaddy lived behind it over there in the woods, and that's where I stayed with them when I was a kid. So Flick and Ofer built this thing in the early 60s, and Ofer and Flick ran it together for a while. Now, man, he could cook. I mean, he could cook some good barbecue. He would cook these whole pork Boston butts and the sirloin tip beef, ribs, chickens, bronzer stew. Now, I did learn today that my cousin did not give these people who are renting it the recipe to Flick's bronzer stew. They don't have it, but I do. And also, I have his sauce recipe. And I noticed today they didn't use Flick's sauce, but I've got it. And Flick would, he did a big business there. 4th of July, they would sell on the 4th of July probably 100 gallons of stew. No telling how much barbecue they sold. And then they would close it down for vacation for a couple of weeks. That's when they would shut it down for that. So Ofer stayed with Flick for a while with it, and then he faded on out of it. And Flick, later years after I got out of prison, he would have let me take that over for him if I'd have wanted to, but I had a lot of other stuff going on at the time. And restaurant businesses, anybody who's ever been in it, it's like you don't get a break too much. You're even working when you're closed, preparing the meals and stuff. It was a great place to go. Family could go there. They didn't sell beer there. He didn't sell beer. Flick had been in the beer joint business in his early days and all that, but this place, he didn't sell beer. So it was a family place. People loved to go there and just enjoy the food and the conversations. So we fast forward to years later at Flick at the Log Cabin Barbecue when in the 80s, 1980s, I was working at the office office supply furniture place. And there was a lady come to work there, and she was from England, fresh off the boat from England. And she wore black outfit every day, and she was what brought this on was, now I liked the woman, don't get me wrong, I liked her, but one day we're talking about Ireland came up, and as most of the listeners know, I'm Irish, and she started talking about the Irish people putting them down real bad. Well, I didn't kind of like that, so I thought, okay, lady. And she was real prim and proper, you know, just imagine this lady in a black outfit with her heels on and just Miss Prim and Proper. And I said, something came up about going out to eat, and I said, well, I know a place, real nice place. Would you like to go? Maybe some of us go. And some of the other people knew where I was going with this. They didn't give it away. I said, well, they have a valet parking. She, oh, yes, yes. The valet parking here? I said, yeah, they do. So we all get in the vehicle. And now, Flick had a lot of construction workers and just, you know, outside working construction workers, road people, just down-to-earth kind of guys, hard-working people, and they would eat there. So, now the parking lot's not paved, and happened to be a few mud holes. It had been raining. So we pull up a bunch of pickup trucks out there, and around here, you have a lot of hunters, and they had the rifles hanging in the back window of the pickup truck. She said, she told me later, she knew we was in trouble when she saw the guns in the truck. So we go in, and this is a very rustic log cabin barbecue. All these big construction workers and hunters and people are there, and the mud holes and the pickup trucks. And I said, well, the valet guy is not here today, so we got to park our own vehicle. We get in, and everybody had a big laugh about it. And she even had a sense of humor about it later, but it was a fun day She got introduced to the real world here, what things was really like around here. I don't know whatever happened to that lady. She didn't hang around much longer after that. She may have went back somewhere else, but. So it was kind of like, if I'm going to get something to eat, that's about the only place I'm going to get to go to right now. So I said, okay, I took a chance. I went on out there, pulled in, wasn't too many people there, one car. And I didn't get my foot good in the door. The sun was kind of blinded me, and then the lighting in there was dim. Now, this is a small place, but Flick and my cousin Ofer built that place. It's a real log cabin building, and they built that back in the 60s. So I barely get my foot in the door, and a waitress says, "Sweet tea." I hate that when they do that. First of all, I can't stand sweet tea. You know, if I'm going to drink tea, I don't want it sweet. And I mean, I ain't got my foot good in the door. She says that. So I kind of stumbling. I said, "Well, let me get set down and see if I can, my eyes adjust to this thing." And I'm thinking, man, she must be on some of that stuff I took back in the 60s. She's on some speed. So I sat down, I asked him, I says, "Look, I hadn't been in here a long time. My cousin built this place, and that didn't impress her at all. She's still interested in what am I going to drink." So I said, "Okay, is your barbecue beef still sliced?" "Yes, it is." "Well, give me a barbecue sandwich." And so I'm looking at the menu, and I see the ribs. So I said, "Have you got ribs today?" "Yeah, we got them." Well, they had a half a rack or a rack, and I said, "I'm thinking, okay, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly, give me a rack of ribs." And next thing I know, she's saying, "You going to eat those here?" I'm thinking, damn, lady, you need to chill out. Smoke a joint. Take a Valium. Do something. And I said, "No, I can't eat all that here. To go, please." Well, there was an old guy sitting there, an old timer sitting there, had on overalls. And he says, "I remember you. I know who you are." And I said, "Well, I'm how you doing?" Told me his name. And I've had out-of-body experiences before in my life. This may sound strange to some folks, and especially if you never had one. I had several when I was in the prison system. All of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and it was like a mist just came over the place. Again, now the lighting's dim. I'm waiting on a sandwich, and I'm back in time. All of a sudden, all the Reeves brothers, all of our cousins, was in here. Ed was playing the guitar. Harold was singing in bass. Flick was sitting there, the Gene and Doyle and all my brothers, all my cousins. Ofer was buck dancing. Now again, this place is small, but I'm in that. I mean, I'm in the log cabin barbecue, but they're all in this place. Well, there's no way all of them would have fit in reality in there, but they're all there. And we're having the best time. Ed was playing the guitar. He could play the guitar good. Then suddenly we move from there, and we're out at the Dyches Creek area where we all used to go. And now I've told a lot of stories of car chases and gun battles and fights and things like that, but we did have some good times too. They were times when we could all get together and have some wonderful times. And at Dyches Creek, you actually could wash your car in the creek. You know, you could put your cold beer in the creek and it'd keep it cold. You could put your watermelon, if you had it, or whatever you wanted, you could put it in the water, and that water was so cold. And somebody had kind of built a little building out there, had a jukebox set up out there, and that was a gathering place. Sometimes on Sundays, we would all gather and go there and party and everything. Then we kind of moved from one scene to the other, and then Now, this place is on the Kingston Highway, which was the liquor highway I used to run. Curvy highway. A lot of times I ran that highway running from the law. Then we're in another place. We're at an A&P Tavern. And everybody's having a great time. There was a waitress there. We called her Big M. She could whip a good-sized man before breakfast. And she could Indian wrestle you for a beer. Well, Ofer, one time, was going to, he felt like he could get her. And she put him down 10 times at a lick. Bam, 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 bam. He lost 10 beers that week. So I thought I'd give it a try. She nailed me, too. You couldn't beat Big M Indian wrestling. It just couldn't be done. And the whole thing was so surreal. It was like we were all together again. And I didn't want to lose that moment. And that's why I wanted to tell this story tonight, because I didn't want to lose this when it all came back to me today. Then I could see the cars again. I could see my brother Harold racing up the road in his car. And we would sometimes get out there in the country, and we'd race a little bit up and down the highway. And just, man, I miss my brothers. I miss my family. And I'm thinking today, okay, I've told their stories. I've told stories about them and how I remember them. And I've been able to share these stories with the listeners. And I'm thinking, how am I going to be remembered? Is anybody going to tell my story? I'm the only one left in the whole crowd. I'm the last one living that know these stories. And I got ready to leave. Well, I didn't want to leave. I mean, I didn't want to come out of that. I was in that for a good while till the lady brought the sandwich. And I'm thinking, did she see what I saw? Is that why she asked me, was I going to eat these ribs here? Did you know, man, it was just, anyway, it was a wonderful experience. And I got ready to leave, and I got the ribs to go. They were still good. Like they were when Flick had them. And I left and I thought, wait a minute, was that old timer really there? That he said he knew me. Was he really sitting there? Anyway, I left and I thought about that all the way home. And then memories started coming back to me of the brothers. But just to be a group again, all together. Mama had about 8 sisters, so we had a lot of cousins on her side. And so between the brothers and the cousins, that we all had these great times and singing, partying. God, I miss it. I miss the brothers. I miss Flick. I miss everybody. And I just had not been in there in a long time, and I kind of went back in time. I mean, it's today, but yet I went back into the 50s. I went back into the 60s, and we were all together there. Strange, strange day today.
Mitchum is produced, edited, and scored by Rob Gokey and Ali Sine Productions. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at MitchumPod, and there's a Mitchum Facebook page and a group for questions and discussions. If you like the podcast, we'd appreciate you taking a few minutes to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. It means so much to the podcast and how it's discovered by other people. And if you don't have time for a review, it just takes a few seconds to give us a 5-star rating. Feel free to reach out if you have any questions about the stories Mitchum's telling. He'd be happy to elaborate, and if we get enough of them, we'll do Q&A episodes as needed. And finally, Mitchum wouldn't be possible without Susan, Robbie, and Colin of the Undisclosed Podcast and the tireless people at the Georgia Innocence Project. Susan Simpson brought Mitchum's case to Undisclosed and shared it with the world, and we're forever grateful to all of them. We'll be back next week with a new episode.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.